I also noticed that we got alcohol in the back of the church, not to drink, but to kind of put on your hands. So could be a good thing to do. And then watch out for your little ones too, because I want the little ones to get sick. So don't grab the little ones' hands or kiss on them. Just maybe pat them on the back or say hi from a distance. That kind of helps them stay free from getting sick too. So just a thought. Anyway, Rick, we did shift that to 6 o'clock. So, all right. I don't know about you, but I've got a cold and I don't see what made me sick, but I know it's there because I can feel it. And I think prayer is the same way. I don't know how God makes me feel better. I can't see it, but he does. And so if you have a chance this morning, I want to encourage you. We're going to have some silent time right now. And as you're with silent with Jesus, and we're going to talk about that in a sermon time, your mind is going to get distracted. You have to tell your mind this: God, I love you, and I want to spend time with you. Or God, I belong to you. And that helps you get your mind on track and just sit in silence with him. So let's do that. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful for the deep blessing of you. And it's because of you, Jesus, we get the chance to be here in church today, to worship with people who have the same goal, which is to get to you, Jesus. And we're all different with unique personalities, strengths, flaws, weaknesses, but our goal's the same, and it's you. We love you so and pray this in your name. Amen. I did announce it earlier, but I want to remind you of something. Today at 1 o'clock, there is a Christmas Homes Tour for Under the Sun Ministries. That's at 1 o'clock and starts over in Maryville. There's that used to be a hair care place across from Pizza Hut. Can't remember the name of that place right now. What is it called? For Looking at Farms. Okay, say that peanut butter in your mouth. Anyway, they're going to start there at 1 o'clock. Tickets are $20, and all the proceeds today go to Under the Sun Ministries, and I believe they tour 6 homes. And so it all goes for education of the kids for Under the Sun Ministries, and they are selling Thailand items too. So anyway, I want to encourage you to be a part of that, and you can enjoy some Christmas home tours today. All right, Derek Gooden recording back there. Thank you. Got the thumbs up. We got 3 guys in the sound booth today. Something bad's probably going to happen. All right. Hey, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 books today. We're going to be in Galatians, and we're going to be in Romans. And so if you want to get ahead of me there, go ahead and do that. Anybody have any idea what this is? Can you see it? Any idea what this is? It looks like a compass, okay? It's not like the compass that you're going to see shortly, but it looks like a compass, all right? And before we talk about our compass, let's read this verse on the screen with each other. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, as we step into our time, that you notice in the front of your bulletin, also in the front of the sermon time here, our screen, we got the compass, okay? This compass is over 30 years old, and that's how I know this. When I was 18 in college, I was going to college in Kirksville, and a group of students and the instructor went to Columbia, to Rockbridge State Park, and we learned to use a compass. And what we had to do was, there's, I believe, 7 posts scattered throughout these several acres of Rockbridge State Park, and we all started, excuse me, we all started at one post. I believe they were painted red. And you could see in the map where all these posts were, but there's no trails necessarily to the map. You had to find them by the compass. And so anybody know how you do that? Well, once you get on the map, you find true north, okay? And for example, if I was going to go to post number one and it was, say, this direction, I would keep my compass pointed on true north, but turn the bottom side of my compass to go that direction. So as long as I stayed on that direction and my compass is pointing true north, I'm walking a straight line, I can keep my arrow true north, I'm walking how? Okay, I'm walking east, but I'm walking in the right direction, okay? So having said that, what we'd have to do is we'd have to put our compass on the map, make sure I find true north, and move the base of my compass to go where it wants to be, where I'm supposed to be. And as we look, for example, this direction, say Brian is a person at my landline, my landmarker, I'd see a tree in the distance where I had to go, and I'd look at that tree, or in this case, Brian, and I'd walk towards him or towards that landmark, and that's what we call an azimuth. An azimuth. And so whenever I walked the azimuth and walked where I was supposed to, guess what I found? I found the post I was supposed to get to. I would flunk the course with my instructor if I didn't find all my posts, okay? So what does that have to do with us in church today? It has a lot to do with us in church today, especially as Christianity, okay? Because as Paul talks to us, we've learned a lot of things in Galatians already. We've learned one thing, several things we learned. We're not here to please people. Who are we here to please? We're here to please our God. We're here to learn to love God. We're here to learn how to please God. We also have learned that there's division in what church? The Church of Galatia. There's division. There's one group of people here, one group of people here. There's division, okay? We've also learned that it's vital to get a hold of the apostles' teaching. What's the apostles' teaching? What do we call it? We call it the Bible. And we've also learned last week that one of the apostles was even a hypocrite. And it's astounding to me how one week we'll learn about the apostles and their teaching, and the next week learn how one apostle was a hypocrite, okay? And then today, I think we're coming to a conclusion that the people in church are confused. Can you relate to that? Have you ever been confused? Okay. Turn down the gain just a little bit, Austin. I think we're a little tingy up here. So I think that people in this church are trying to figure out, who do I follow, people or Jesus? And then what do I do in everyday life? Because I think we're trying to figure out, next screen, guys. We're trying to figure out how do I do everyday life? How am I supposed to? And that's a great question, because I think we can relate to the church in Galatia. Who am I supposed to follow? People or Jesus? What do I do in everyday life? Aren't I supposed to do something? And aren't I supposed to do something that's good enough for the people around me and God? And so it really begs the question, how do I do everyday life? And praise God, God gives us His word, because He tells us exactly how to do everyday life. Exactly. So if you're following along your sermon outline, you're going to see how Jesus wants Paul and me and you to do everyday life with Him. So we're going to dive right into it. Galatians 2, verse 20 is where we're going to be today as a text we're going to camp on. So here it is, Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. So the first thing I need to understand as a Christian, I need to acknowledge, next screen there, guys, I need to acknowledge that you were crucified with Jesus. The Bible says that in our verse, Galatians 2:20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Now, let me ask you something. What happens when something has been crucified? It's dead. Okay, it's dead. When something is crucified, it dies. Now, does that mean that when Paul's writing this letter, he's a ghost because he's dead? No, okay. But we understand kind of what it means. Well, let's kind of get more and more meaning, okay? So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to go to Romans 6, verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. All right, so I'm taking the left from Galatians, and I go to Romans 6, verse 3. This is what the Bible says. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His what? His death. So we begin to understand something. When we're immersed, we're actually immersed into a person. And what's His name? His name is Jesus. Don't ever believe you're immersed into a church. That's false teaching. You're immersed into Jesus, okay? And then secondly, not only are you immersed into Jesus, But you're also immersed into his what? You're immersed into his death. So when you were immersed into Christ, you became one with Jesus, and you became one with his death on the cross. And though you didn't die on the cross, you still participated with Jesus on the very cross he died. Now, we're going to talk more about that in just a little bit, because that can be hard, but this is why it takes faith, folks. The next thing is this: remind yourself, I no longer live. I go back to Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is I no longer live. Now, there's a reason that you and I need to die as Christ followers. There is an absolute reason. Let's picture it this way. Let's say, for example, you can picture in your mind that your heart is a throne, that your heart is a throne, like a king's throne. Who do we typically want to sit on the throne of our heart? Ourselves. That's who we typically want. We typically want ourselves. And why is that? Well, because we want to do what we want to do. Who wants to rule our own life? We do. That's what we want to do. That's why you must die, and that's why you must no longer live on the throne of your heart. So ask yourself this question. How well has it worked for you and those around you to live for yourself? Not very well, okay? Next point we see about what Paul's making to us today is that we need to remind ourselves that Christ lives in me and I don't. Christ lives in me and I don't. If I go back to Galatians 2:20, Paul says, but Christ lives in me. Now remember, when you became a Christian, you're immersed into Jesus, and what else happened to you? You died. That's exactly what happened. You died. Now, since you became one with Jesus and you died, who's left inside you? Jesus. That's who's left. And sure, you have still the same personality, strengths, and flaws, but now who are you living for? Yourself or Jesus? You're living for Jesus. Sometimes we get that mixed up. Now remember, if you're living for yourself, then you are living a life for a dead person. Because remember, you what? You died. This is very important. So let me ask you a question. Which sounds more appealing to you? Living for your dead self or for the living Jesus? I think that makes sense to me. Okay? Next thing Paul reminds us in this text. Remind yourself of the newness of life in your body. Remind yourself of the newness of life in your body. Because Paul goes on to say, the life I now live in the body. That's from Galatians 2:20. The life I now live in the body. I love my Tuesday morning guys. I come to them Tuesday morning guys. I tell them, I've got this ache and pain. And they always tell me the same thing. It just gets worse. And so sometimes this body of ours can be so challenging, not in the way it has it gets older, but how it just kind of wants to do things I don't want to do. And so Paul says he's going to live in a new body. So we can ask Paul this rhetorical question. Paul, wait a minute. Didn't you just say that you died? So then if you died, how can you have a life to live in your body? That doesn't make sense, Paul. Well, Paul explains that to the Roman church. If you're still in Romans, go to Romans again. Romans 6, verse 4. Paul says this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may live a what? A what? A new life. Now it says that Jesus was raised. Help me understand this. How did Jesus go into the grave? Dead. And what do you think his body looked like? Look like a terrible mess, okay? But how did Jesus come out of the grave? Alive and how? Good. Jesus looked new. Except for his scars, he looked new. Now, there's something important to us. Since I'm identified with Jesus at my baptism, at my immersion, and his death at my immersion, and then I go under the water, and as I'm raised up out of the water, what happens to my body and the remaining life I have in it? It just told you in Romans 6. I get to live what kind of life? A new life. Now, I still have the same body, but I get to live a new life in that body. Now, think about this. What could happen if we truly believe we get to live a new life in the old body? I mean, seriously, folks, think about that. What could happen if you truly believe you get to live a new life in the old body? Did Jesus believe that? Yes. Well, sure he did. He submitted to the cross because he knew he submitted to the cross. He'd be submitted to the grave. He submitted to the grave. He submitted to the resurrection. So Jesus knew he was going to live a new life. And so some of us think, well, wait a minute, preacher. I don't get it. See, some of us are so logically oriented that we got to have to understand everything. I don't get it. I just don't understand how that can be possible. Praise God for the Bible. Romans 8, verse 11. If you got your Bible, Romans 8, verse 11. Look what happens here. Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from where? The dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Can you point to your mortal body for me? This is your mortal body. What did that verse just tell you about you? It's going to die, but you've got what in it? You have life in your mortal body, the same life that raised who from the dead? Jesus. Folks, that's amazing. So this is what I come to the conclusion. Since the Holy Spirit has come to live inside me, through my immersion into Christ, who now gives life to this body? The Holy Spirit. That means you can walk in newness of life because of him. Nothing to do with you. I cringe a little bit when people say, oh, I've got this problem, but I'm working on it. Who's working on it? I'm partnering with Jesus to work on it. I'm partnering with the Holy Spirit to work on it. So which sounds more exciting? Think about this. Which sounds more exciting? Which sounds more exciting? To dwell on the old you or live out the new you through the Holy Spirit? That sounds exciting to me. I mean, that sounds really exciting. Okay, here we go. Remind yourself of this. Remind yourself, I live by faith in Jesus, not me, myself, or others. I live by faith in Jesus, not me, myself, or others. Remember, Paul says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now, who's the Son of God? The Son of God is Jesus. It happens every time. Every time I'm in my driveway, whether it's my pickup or my van, doesn't matter. Every time I start my truck on my car, this little thought crosses through my head. I hope it starts. I hope it starts. Now, you don't know any history behind that, but when we were kids growing up, first married, we were college kids and we drove junk cars. Not much has changed. We drove junk cars. We drove junk cars. One car we had, I could see through the floorboard as it was driving down the road. We could see through the floorboard. The cloth ceilings were hanging down. You remember those cloth ceilings you had? Because they're hanging down, okay? And then our primary color in our cars in those days was rust. And most of the time, the car just wouldn't start. We just drove junk cars. And so my car let me down. So what's that to do with faith? Let me ask you this. How many times have you had faith in someone and they let you down? Every day. Well, Jim, I'm not sure I want to hang around you very much. But you're talking about me. How many times have the grain, cattle, and hog market let you down? How many times has the weather let you down? How many times has your job, money, and material things let you down? And when things let you down, what do we do? Well, Paul says we work. You see, that's what's going on in the church in Galatia. We can't count on Jesus because I'm afraid to let me down, so I need to work. And Paul was used to that mindset of work, 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 work. If no one else cannot count on anybody else to do it, then who can do it? Me. I can do it. Yes, I can. Work, 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 work. And see, that was a concept here in this church. They wanted the Old Testament law because they could work. And when you work, guess what? Work is a very appealing to us because we can see our work, feel our work, smell our work, taste our work, hear our work. That's why work is so appealing. It's tangible. And when you follow a rigid set of rules like the Old Testament law, you can wrap your mind around that. And so you start thinking, you know what? I can work my way to heaven. I can work in such a way that I can smell, taste, see, hear, and feel what I've done. I want to ask you a question. It's pretty important. Think about this. How many times have you engaged your five senses when it comes to your faith? How many times have you engaged your five senses when it comes to your faith? I can't see Jesus. I can't smell Jesus. I can't taste him. I can't hear him. I can't touch him. And say, how many of us have experienced our five senses when it comes to Jesus? And so I got a question for you. Let me ask you this question. How are you living? Are you living by faith, or are you living by smell, taste, sight, touch, and hearing? The next thing is this. Two ways Jesus makes it easy to live by faith in him. Two ways that Jesus makes it easy to live by faith in him. Remember, Paul says that I live by faith in this body. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. There are some things that I know that's certain. I know this is certain, that if I forget to pay my taxes this spring, I'm going to get a letter. Guess who it's going to be from? The IRS. They're going to say, Preacher Jeff, you did not pay your taxes this year. I have faith that what will happen tomorrow morning? The sun will come out tomorrow. I have faith that in spite of the clouds, what's above them? The sun. I have faith that spring will come. It's easy for me to have faith in those things. Why? I've experienced them. I've seen them. And Paul had faith for two reasons. Listen to this. This is really important. Paul has experienced the love of Jesus. That's why it's so easy for him to have faith. I don't know if it's easier. It's easier to have because he experienced the love of Jesus. Great question. Have you? Have you experienced the love of Jesus? Now, have you lived a life like Paul? And have you become so convinced of God's love for you through Jesus that love makes faith easier? Let me ask you this question. How easy is it to endure life when you know and have experienced the love of Jesus? It's easier, isn't it? When you know Jesus loves you, it's easier to get through it. Jesus loves Paul. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves every person on the planet. Let me ask you this question. How much life can you handle knowing that Jesus loves you? How about all of it? Well, life's too much. You're right. It is too much. But it's sure a lot easier when you know what? That Jesus loves you. You can handle all of life by faith in the love of Jesus for you. Now, think about this. What could happen? Seriously, what could happen if you sat in daily silence to experience the love of Jesus washing over you with his presence? Are you going to see it? But you will experience it. Finally, Paul experienced the death of the cross. Paul experienced the death of the cross, but not the pain of the cross. Okay, Paul experienced the death of the cross, but not the pain of the cross. And what does that mean? Well, I believe that when we practice silence and solitude, we get the chance to have the love of Jesus wash over us when we do that. But how can we experience the cross? I actually already told you. How do you experience the cross of Christ? How'd I tell you? You remember? Remember, I can have faith in the cross of Christ for me because I experienced the death of Jesus through when? When I was immersed into Jesus, I experienced the death of Jesus. Where was Jesus killed? On the cross. So think about this. When I was immersed into Christ, I experienced his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When I was immersed into Christ, I became one with Jesus, and I also became one with the very death he had on the cross. That means, in all practicality, though I didn't die on the cross, I participated with Jesus on his cross, and I died Which means that when you take the communion cup in your hand and the loaf in your hand and you're putting them together to have communion, and you dwell on the fact that Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, hung naked on a cross, nails driven through the palms or wrists of his hands, nails driven probably through his heels, and his body stripped of his flesh by the cat of nine tails, which they beat him mercilessly, and which he sat there dying in agonizing death for hours on end, wondering if he's going to be able to get his next breath. You dwell on that, and as you take your communion, it dawns on you, you get to participate in the death of Jesus on the cross pain-free. Pain-free. Is that astounding? I don't know about you, but I don't like pain. And I get to participate in the cross of Christ without the pain. And so I don't know what it feels like to hang on a cross, but Jesus did, and he still chose the cross. He still chose the cross. That astounds me. So think about this. How is it to endure life knowing Jesus gave himself to the pain of the cross so you didn't have to? Boy, folks, if that can't reach your heart this morning, I'm not sure anything will. Wow. Finally, as we wrap up our time here in Galatians 2, I'm going back to Galatians 2 with you, in Galatians 2:21. Remind yourself, by the grace of God, Christ died to make me righteous. And Galatians 2:21 says, I did not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You see, righteousness means I'm living rightly with God. What can you do to live rightly with God? Not a thing. And the moment you start to think that you're the one in charge of living rightly for God is the moment that you have taken away whose cross? Jesus' cross. You have to come to terms with this reality. You'll never be good enough for God because only one person only ever has been. Who is it? And as we choose to trust and believe and have faith in Jesus, he makes us right, which is the word righteous with God. And as we live in righteousness with Jesus, we then live rightly with God. Remember, who indwells our body and gives it life? The Holy Spirit. And so all of the Godhead work together to help me stay in right relationship with God. And the moment you think that you're responsible to be completely righteous with God is the moment you have taken the cross away from Christ. I want to share with you something, just one word, maybe two. That's disgusting. And so here's a thought. What sounds like grace to be right with God? To trust your works or trust Jesus' work on the cross? So there was a time down there when I was at this state park in Rockbridge, and I had my compass on. I had the map. I was paired with another student, and I put my compass on the map. I get my true north established. I shoot my azimuth to where the other point's supposed to be. So true north here, my point's supposed to be here. I shoot my azimuth. I find my landmark. I go to my landmark. I'm keeping my compass on true north. Okay, let's say I found it. I'm at this, I'm going to my map, being my next place is over here. So I'm still looking on true north, and I turn my compass around to shoot my azimuth there. And one time in particular, I looked, I didn't necessarily have a landmark. So I thought, well, I'll just kind of walk in that general direction. So I walked in that general direction. If you ever walked in timber before, any idea what can happen? You walk in timber before? And before I knew it, I should have been where I should have thought I'd been, but I'm like, I don't know where I am. I'm what? The only thing I knew to do, I could kind of backtrack and find the old post. Okay. I'm walking back. Oh, yeah, there's the old post. Okay. All right. Now I need to get back to the map. So I go to the map, shoot my azimuth. Okay. Oh, I think I see it. Nope, here we go. Okay. So I'm going to walk now while keeping direction true north. What just happened? Look. The compass is this reality. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. That's the reality. I've been crucified with Christ. My map is the Bible. As I lay my compass, I've been crucified with Christ and I'm reading my Bible. I now begin to discover I don't have a will. I don't have a will. Because I've been what? I've been crucified with Christ. So since my compass is I've been crucified with Christ, I lay it on the map. I lay it on the map of the Bible. And as I shoot an azimuth, my azimuth will always find me at the foot of the cross. And as I live my life crucified with Christ, the map is my Bible. I always find myself at the foot of the cross in the presence of Jesus. What do you think my life will be like? How about not lost? I don't like being lost. It's a very awkward feeling, but I won't be lost. I want to stand and together, and then we're going to pray. And during our prayer time, we're going to just pray a Christmas song, but I want to encourage you during our prayer time, I want you to go ahead and mingle with one another and get a prayer request from somebody here. If you desire to have someone pray with you today or talk with you today, Huey and Kay are here. I know we got a big crowd, but they're right here. Man, raise your hands, Huey and Kay, so everybody can see you. There you go. Big crowd, they're right here to pray with you. Vernon Lane's here to pray with you if you have someone you want to. Stephanie and I are here to pray with you if you have someone you want to talk to, but we're here. So don't leave this place without connecting with someone to talk to you about what you're dealing with. But we're here. So during this Christmas song, get up, mingle with each other, and let's pray. Let's stand and pray. Well, Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for the blessing of who you are. And Jesus, it's because of you we get to learn about how we have been crucified with you and actually participated with you on your cross pain-free. If that doesn't just empower us with a heart of gratitude, I don't know what would. Lord, that's the dynamite of the cross. It just destroys the hard heart to understand that Jesus died for me and I don't have to. We love you so very much. And help us to be merry Christians in this Merry Christmas. And we pray your name. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming.